call for it to adjourn.
Aye.
How glorious are some of the bodies?
Aye.
How glorious are some of the bodies? How glorious are some of the bodies? Someone needs a pen. Notes on that, I'm on it. It's so sticky. I don't know what's on there, but we are on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 44.
Yes.
This is the prayers to Queen Kunti. We just heard the last prayer yesterday. Sutuvacha, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sutuvacha Pitaye Tham Kalapadhai Parinuta Kilodhayaha Mandam Jahasa Vaikunto Mohayan Iva Mayaya Sutuvacha Pitaye Tham Kalapadhai Parinuta Kilodhaya Mandam Jahasa Vaikunto Mohayam Iva Mayaya. Sutuvach. Sutta said, Pitaya by Pitta Kunti. Idham, this Kalapadai, by chosen words. Parinuta, being worshipped. Akila, universal. Udayaha, glories. Mandam, mildly, Jahasa, smiled. Vaikuntaha, the Lord. Mohayan, captivating. Iva, like.
Mayaya.
Mayaya.
His mystic powers.
His mystic powers.
Translation for part by Srila Prabhupada. Sutta Goswami said, the Lord, thus hearing the prayers of Kunti Devi, composed in choice words for his glorification, mildly smiled. That smile was as enchanting as his mystic power. Anything that is enchanting in this world is said to be a representation of the Lord. The conditioned souls who are engaged in trying to lord it over the material world are also enchanted by his mystic powers, but his devotees are enchanted in a different way by the glories of the Lord, and his merciful blessings are upon them. His energy is displayed in different ways as electrical energy works in manifold capacities. Srimati Kunti Devi has prayed to the Lord just to enunciate a fragment of his glories. All his devotees worship him in that way by chosen words, and therefore the Lord is known as Uttama Shloka. No amount of chosen words is sufficient to enumerate the Lord's glory, and yet he is satisfied by such prayers as a father is satisfied even by the broken linguistic attempts of the growing child. The word maya is used both in the sense of delusion and mercy. Herein, the word maya is used in the sense of the Lord's mercy upon Kunti Devi. So Krishna is smiling. So Krishna is seen here as mildly smiling. In other words, he's very pleased with Kunti Devi's prayers. And these prayers were spoken spontaneously. She didn't have time to prepare for class. She just spontaneously spoke these glories. And it said that they were all chosen words, so somehow or other, she's choosing each word simultaneously glorifying Krishna. We can remember Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw the Lord, he was pretty amazed, and he wanted to speak, but he couldn't, and so Krishna tapped him on the head with the conch shell. We can see that, at least for myself, to have to give class, I have to have a couple weeks, and I need more than a bounce on the head. I need a lot more help to choose words, what to say. But Kunti Devi is so qualified, she was able to just speak these wonderful verses which are heard and relished even today. And these aren't prayers of gimme this and gimme, 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 gimme those and gimme that. But it was actually a glorification of all the different attributes and energies and characteristics of Lord Krishna. And it's very personal attributes too. Just all the names that she uses are describing Krishna's relishable activities that she can remember. For the Sakama devotee, one with still some material desires for gimme, gimme, but a devotee nonetheless, it's a little different quality, but because it's tinged, it still needs some things. Krishna, I still want a few things. I want to serve you also. So it's not on the supreme level that Kunti Devi is displaying here. but these prayers, even with the desires, are still pleasing to the Lord, because the Lord knows that this person will become closer and closer to me, more dependent upon me in the near future. Just like if you pick a green mango off the tree, you say, if you were to taste it, it wouldn't be a mango, but it is a mango, but it's just not ripe. So we're a bunch of unripened mangoes, hoping to get nice and yellow and red and be able someday to be selfless in our prayers. I know myself, they're still very much tinged and clouded over, but the Maha Mantra, we keep chanting to be engaged and gradually become purified and become that ripe mango. So there's hope for all of us. And here it said that the Father is still pleased with the broken language. So our Father, Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, are still pleased that we're bowing down and trying to be in reverence and offer our prayers or even our requests and desires for him. I can actually remember, I don't know if you all could ever remember, but I was not very religious at all, but I can remember my first prayer. It was definitely way late at night after I got home from some date or something. I was a teenager then, and I was in bed, and I thought, I'm desperate. What if my mother finds out I did all these horrible things, and what if something happened? And I, you know, I got to pray for some help, because if I get caught, boy, I'm going to be a disappointment for my parents, and it's just going to be havoc. So I prayed. I didn't know who I was praying to, but I prayed. I figured God must be there somewhere, and he won't spill the beans. You can depend on him. And so I remember that. I was in my bed and all by myself. But like, I didn't say it out loud or anything, but I said it in my heart. And so that was definitely a different quality than Queen Kunti's. But at least it was a start, and I had some faith that God would help out. And he did. My mother never found out most of the things until I got older and told her in her dismay. But if we look at the Bhagavatam, there are so many wonderful examples of the proper way to pray, of this being selfless. And a couple came to mind. When Krishna Balaram were picked up by a crew and taken to Mathura, outside of Mathura, they decided they wanted to get kind of spiffied up. So they saw this washerman, and he wasn't very cooperative, but they went and they took care of him and took King Kamsa's different clothes and put them all on each other and looked really nice. And then they thought, well, actually, we could use a nice garland now. So they stopped by Sudharma, the florist maker, and said, you know, we're going to the city, you know, we're just city boys, and maybe you have some nice garlands. And he was just tickled to death. He was just like, running around looking for the best flowers and everything. He was saying, I can't believe you all are here. I've heard so much about you. You're so beautiful. And so he made the most beautiful Vaijayanta garlands and presented them to the Lord. And the Lord was very pleased, and he said, I'll give you a benediction. And then Sudama said, there's no way I can ask anything. Just your being here is the most wonderful thing. But if I must ask for something, let me just remain your eternal servant in devotion. And by doing this service, I will benefit everybody else. I can do good for all living creatures. So this was very selfless. He didn't really ask anything for himself. He just wanted to be in service, and he wanted to help others. So this is a wonderful attitude of service by Sudama. And then one of my very favorite devotees in Chaitanya Leela is Kulavet Srihar. And he was known to be the banana wala. He would sell the stem and the flowers and the leaves, which are all over Bengal. But anyway, he had this business. And not a lot of profit comes out of this. He sells it for very cheap. And sometimes people thought he was starving to death, because he would be glorifying the Lord in his little thatched hut in the middle of the night. Couldn't stop glorifying the Supreme Lord. But he had a little shop, and Lord Chaitanya would come by and haggle with poor Kulavetra Srihar. And this would go on for 2 hours sometimes. And he would say, you have to give me the half price. There's no way I'm going to pay this expensive price. You're such a rich man anyway. You have so much riches and wealth. I know you do. Just give them to me half price. And then Kulavetra Srihar would say, I can't do that. You know, I have hardly anything, and I worship Ganges and so many things. Don't give me such a hard time. Just take these for the full price. Lord Chaitanya would snatch the things. And then Kulavetra Srihar would snatch the other end, and there would be a tug of war. And they would be pushing and shoving each other. And then complaining and everything. And this would go on for 2 hours sometimes. And finally, Lord Chaitanya would get angry, and then, of course, Kulavetra Srihar would just say, just take it, will you? Just take it and get out of my shop and just go. And So this would go on regularly to the ecstatic bliss of Kulava Srihar and Lord Chaitanya. And so at one point, Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with him that he said, I can give you any of the 8 mystic powers. And Kulava Srihar, this was after Lord Chaitanya revealed his 8 and informed him. He said, I can give you whatever you want, any of these mystic powers. And Kulava Srihar said, I don't want any of this. I don't want any of that. He says, first of all, I just want to praise you, but nothing will come out of my tongue. I don't know what to say. And so Lord Chaitanya called Mother Saraswati to go on his tongue so he could speak. And then he this was one of his prayers. He said, let that Brahmin who forcibly took away my banana leaves, please allow me to serve him birth after birth and to always enjoy his tug of war and his quarreling with me and be at the lotus feet of this wonderful Brahmin, Lord Chaitanya. So this is a wonderful prayer too, of just wanting to be relishing the Lord's association no matter what it is. So Lord Srila Prabhupada also, he had his prayers, but there were petitions actually for the Lord to come and help him serve him, to help him have the ability to carry on his mission and to speak to the Western people, to spread Krishna consciousness. Nothing for himself really, he had nothing. He didn't need anything, but he needed Krishna to enter him and to allow him to speak this great philosophy. So this is also a wonderful attitude that we should have. Actually, it's Lord Krishna says that he's very disappointed. He's actually very disappointed when his devotee doesn't ask for anything but devotional, pure devotional service. So if we still ask him for these things, he's just ask for pure devotion. That's all. But it's hard to ask for that because we're just not on that level. It reminds me of this story of a kind of a rich gentleman who went to the bank of the Ganges wanting to cross the Ganga, and he called for a boatman. And at that time, there weren't any little those putt-putt-putt-putt things that go across the Ganga, spew out all that horrible black smoke. Actually, in the first year I went, there was this same process where a man would be in the boat with an oar and you would just get somebody to pull your boat. Usually it was your little son or something, some guy about this big. He really was, he was about this big. And he pulls the boat against the Ganga flow, which is not an easy thing to do, all the way up to where you could let go and then you float across and you end up right where you want to be. And so he was watching this boy, you know, going on the rough bank of the river, because it's always changing because the floods and the water is always coming. Every time you go there, it's different. And so he says, please, let me give some benediction, you know, let me help you out. And the boatman goes, yes, can you just give me some pillows to put along the edge of the river so it's not so difficult to walk? You know, why not ask for, you know, something else? So in the same way, we should just ask for pure devotional service lifetime after lifetime. And we can see that it was not so difficult for Kunti, because she was in the presence of Krishna so much during her lifetime. And you can see Prahlad Maharaj and even Kulavetya Srihar, they were in the presence of the Lord, witnessing all these activities, these amazing, mystical, wonderful activities. So it was very easy for them to, oh yes, and he did this and he did that, and I watched him do that, and I saw that miracle happen and that. So this is a little different than our situation. We have no qualification spiritually to even speak about the Lord. I never even heard the name Krishna before I came devotee. Plus we were just kind of picked up out of the garbage pile and we dusted off with a little cloth and put into, you know, a temple and asked to do devotional service, somehow or other we try to stay clean enough in Kali Yuga to keep engaged in the service. What less to offer beautiful prayers? But Krishna is very kind. In this purport, he manifests himself right here in the material world, so we become very inspired to understand him more. We can see his energies in different ways. Sometimes they're very majestic and awesome, very terrifying sometimes, just like the strength of these fires and these hurricanes. Terrifying, but you realize that it's nothing under my control. It must be the wonder of nature, at least. So Krishna lets us become awestruck in that way. But here it says that the devotee sees it a little bit deeper. He actually can go and see that behind all these different energies of the Lord is the smiling face of Krishna. There's a name, Gopal and Govinda, that comes to mind, Makanchor, so many different names that go with these energies. And this is just simply a little spark of his splendor. But it helps us to remember our Lord, who is so enchanting and so magnificent in so many ways. But personally, we can understand who that is. Even Einstein, he was awestruck by the material nature, how perfectly it's arranged. And he said there must be some supreme intelligence behind all this. And we know who that most intelligent person is in detail, thanks to Srila Prabhupada giving us this Srimad Bhagavatam. It also says here that that the devotee can enjoy these these glories in the material world by relating, like lately we've been having all these thunderstorms every single day at the same time. We have, you know, big thunder, lightning. So we can think, yes, the rainbow. I saw one actually coming to early in the morning. There was a rainbow the other day, at an unseen hour, like 6 o'clock in the morning there was one. And I can say, that's the garland of Krishna. I'm going to see Krishna right now, and that's the colors of his garland. And the thunder, that's described as the pitter-patter of the gopis' feet during the rasa dance. And then the lightning is the anklets, the sparkling of the anklets during all these dancing. So this is a benediction that we have and we can also use in Krishna's service. But we might think that I still have a handicap. You know, I don't see Krishna. I mean, we have the deity for him, but even sometimes we look at the deities and we can turn around and forget even what color they had on or any of the other details. So it might be some kind of a handicap, but I kind of disagree, because we have so many things that are enchanting and that give us direct association with Krishna every single day and are completely worthy of glorification. And I think everyone in this room, if I asked you right now, Sukada, to glorify Srila Prabhupada, we could give you a minimum of an hour and you could keep going on, right? Everyone in this room could glorify Prabhupada, right? We have Prabhupada, who is a representative of Krishna. So how can we complain? We saw him personally. He was totally amazing. Well, less even if you hear or see his glories, look what he's done. He's injected the Western world with Krishna consciousness all over. So how can we not feel the association of Krishna? Everything was designed by Krishna personally for him to come here. The time, the place, the circumstances, everything to start this movement. That was Krishna. So we can see Krishna directly and experience him by just being in this movement and appreciating Srila Prabhupada. And his power is remaining, it's continuing, and it will for 10,000 years, because they're in the books, which are a miraculous thing. They're none different than Krishna. He gave us Krishna right here in front of us. We're able to hear and touch him. So there's really This is an amazing thing that we have. It's really mercy. What less Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement? Have not we all experienced some transcendental association of Lord Chaitanya, either preaching directly to people or being on Harinam, seeing their faces light up with the Harinam party? So, and actually praying to Lord Chaitanya when you're trying to distribute a book, praying to Lord Chaitanya to say the right words. So this is like personal association we've had with the Lord. And the Sankirtan movement has changed the hearts of millions of people, and it's spread all over the world. And along with that is prasadam distribution. Krishna is right there, just watching people take that prasadam and lighting up, and their lives being changed. And maybe some of us are a result of that being here in the temple, just the prasadam. So, yes, the mission of Lord Chaitanya is non-different than Krishna, and we can glorify Lord Chaitanya forever and ever, and tell stories of the effects of this movement. And of course, Srinam, the holy name. Direct association with Krishna we have every single day for hours and hours. And we can see the revolution of consciousness is taking over the world because of Krishna's presence in the holy name. So this effect has allowed us to experience transcendence. I'm sure every single one of us has experienced a little bit of that transcendence that is there in the holy name. I remember I was at a football game one time, and Radha Charan was standing next to me. And then there was some boy that doesn't usually lead kirtan, leading the kirtan at the Harinam. And he was just like, really, he was closing his eyes and he was giving it all he had. And he was singing this tune that none of us knew. We had no idea, but he was just so into it. And Radha Charan and I looked at each other and she goes, he's gone. He's just gone. I go, yep, he's just gone. He was just with Krishna. He didn't care about anything else. He was with Krishna, relishing the holy name. So we've all seen it and experienced kirtans and bhajans that you're just gone. Manmati came up to me during this chanting and said, reminded me of a time when we had a all-night bhajan one time. And Prabhu, like he picked a very long one today, like 12, 13, 14, 15 verses, right? She was reminding me that we were just at the end of, just it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, we were getting kind of anxious to go home. And then he said, let me just leave one kirtan, one bhajan. And it went on, and it got to 10, 15 verses, 20 verses, 30 verses. How many verses were in that song? I think 60 or something. And we're like, what? You know? We're all kind of, but he was gone. He was just merged in this, and it was a wonderful, wonderful. I never sang it again. I would like to give me the name of it, actually read it and meditate on it again. So this is our meditation, this is our experience, and this is our reason that we can glorify. We have so many things to glorify, and all of us could spend all day sharing in our glorifications of the Lord. So many different aspects, so many different energies. And I'm sure that Krishna would be at least amused by our glorification and probably be smiling. And I'm sure Srila Prabhupada is also smiling that we are relishing this process of devotional service. And in Vandanam, this is one of the processes of devotional service, one of the nine processes, which we can engage in and gradually become purified to the point where the Lord may choose to actually reveal himself in front of us face to face one day. And then hopefully we'll have the words, the chosen words, to glorify him. But in the meantime, we're satisfied. We're satisfied just being here in this movement and engaging in these nine processes, however many ways we can be engaged in. And our real business now is to fill ourselves with the glories and prayers of these great devotees. Store them in our hearts somewhere, so get so full that all the crud, all the different pastimes of ourselves and all of our nonsense go out of our hearts, and all the attraction for all the material things get pushed out of our heart, and all remains is glorification of the Lord. And we're able to go deeper in our Krishna consciousness and spread it and repeat it to others. And not just lip service, just like I think she just read. It's not just speaking, but it's actually doing. Glorifying Śrīla Prabhupāda and Krishna by maintaining this movement and expanding it. Right now it's a little hard for our expansion of devotional service. It's definitely a challenge. We're all, feeling like our hands are tied in some way. But it's also time now that we can energize ourselves and try to make some plans of how we can make this Krishna consciousness more enchanting to others. What can we do to attract more people to the hearing about the glories of Krishna? So this is a time when we should figure out how to do that, how to strategize and make our temples places where we can attract people and keep them devotees, which is a little lacking on our part, especially at this temple. So, I was thinking that these allurements, the great glories of the Lord that we see here in the material world, they are alluring, but we also have to realize that Maya is behind there too. She has a duty of making sure everyone's alert, so we have to be careful that we don't take her invitations, because sometimes this can be so overwhelming that we get carried away and we get involved back in the material world, being exasperated by just some of these glories. So we have to be careful that we refuse her invitation and use these wonderful things that happen to glorify Krishna and to remind people that God is great, that God is a person, and that he should be served and glorified by us eternally. So if we really want to make Śrīla Prabhupāda smile, we can take these prayers and all the songs of the Vaishnavas and the different prayers in the Bhagavatam and imbibe them in our hearts and give them to others. And if you can remember seeing a picture yesterday of Prabhupada sitting down at the harmonium and singing these prayers, he would be his eyes closed and he'd be like clenching, his whole faucet, his face would be so intense singing the prayers of the Vaishnavas. And I believe he sung these prayers as Kunkunti somewhere also. But just picturing him singing and relishing these weren't his prayers. Narottam Das Thakur and so many different devotees, they weren't his prayers. He was relishing the prayers of the other Vaishnavas. So we should do the same thing, and it'll make Śrīla Prabhupāda smile, and it'll make Krishna in our heart smile, and it will give us inspiration to go out and glorify the Lord and bring others to the point of giving up the glorification of their own nonsense activities and taking up devotional service, which is our eternal occupation. So maybe someone has a real short question, because I'm missing a meeting right now. I'm supposed to be there. Anyone have any questions? Varuna, behind that mask. Who's Varuna? Yeah, go ahead. You're about 60.
Waiting for someone to say that.
You're about 60 feet from me.
So thank you for the very nice and enlightening class. You mentioned that two devotees' prayers. One is the garland maker, and then the other was Kulavichar Sridhar. Mm-hmm. So you said that you like those prayers, but maybe I missed it. I wasn't paying attention. Did you mention why you like them?
I really like Kulavitcha Sridhar. I like his attitude, that he enjoyed playing around with Krishna and enjoyed being, you know, harassed. And then he prays to keep that coming on. So that's why I like him.
And then the other question I have is, so like these are their personal prayers, Kulavitcha Sridhar and then mm-hmm. Sudama, is that what you said?
Sudama.
Yeah, so what is the benefit for us to hear their personal prayers?
Because we would like to come to that platform of being selfless in our prayers, not thinking of all the little side things that we want, you know, or being just a desperado. But we would like to be able to pray to help other people and to serve unconditionally.
Kulavitcha Sridhar found out that this is his object of love, how that Leela will take place ever and again?
Yeah, that would be hard to have the same mood.
So how would he be enjoyable?
But when he leaves his body, that body's gone, and so the same mood can be there in the spiritual world. I mean, it was probably harder after that happened to continue on, but I don't know where it is in the relation of Sridhar Kulavitcha Sridhar's personal association. I don't know how long he stayed with him or anything. Do you know?
In
Madhumanga, really?
Yeah. Oh.
Do you know how long he had his association after that experience?
After Mahaprabhu left for Sanat?
No, after revealing himself to Sridhar Swami in that way.
Yeah, he used to come with Sivananda Sen to Jagannath Puri, uh-huh. And then a few decades gone.
Well, I guess he wasn't selling banana leaves in Jagannath Puri, but I'm sure he got harassed. And I'm sure he gave that benediction. You know, Krishna's very merciful that he would still be able to have that nice joking mood. So.
But I'm still thinking, my mind will not be satisfied. I want to hear from him. Like after everything revealed, now how this he's going to taste it?
Why is Yoga Maya, Krishna can
again forget it?
Yeah, he could just boom, Yoga Maya, now you forgot the whole thing.
I mean, you kind of see that, I mean, it's a different kind of ecstasy that you have. You know, I mean, like devotees who first met,
devotees who first met Srila Prabhupada, and they didn't know who he was, but they had some kind of attraction and appreciation, and they had a different rasa with him in one sense, you know. And then as they served, then they realized,
whoa, yeah.
Wow, who he is, you know. And so there was maybe more awe and reverence, but then there must have been a different kind of ecstasy in serving him and being with him. And then you see that the kind of exchanges that Prabhupada would have with Malkesha Maharaj, or, you know, his very close associates. And
that's what comes to my mind.
Yeah.
He would,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. There were still such very nice exchanges, so.
Are you saying to say that Kulavitcha Sridhar would be seen and during the
bargain? That's what I'm saying. Maybe the
How do you bargain?
No, maybe it's not bargain in that sense, you know, with him selling, but it's another kind of ecstasy. And so that is there. It's just this change. At least that's how I perceive.
Yeah, relationships actually do
change. They change. Yeah.
Sure.
Hari Bol. So I was thinking. I was thinking after that long, beautiful prayers of Kunti, at least she deserves a smile from the Lord. You know, because look at those wonderful prayers. They were so amazing, you know. And for Bhagavatam to conclude, the Lord is smiling. It was such a nice way of maybe appeasing Kunti.
Da, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Mother Madhurja Leela sent some comment for class. You and others are touchstone strategically placed in the West among the conditioned souls. She's talking about you. I hope you heard it.